You know, the Lord put forth a wondrous mystery when he said, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Foxes are pictured as those sneaky things that spoil the vine, by eating away secretly at the young tender vines, so that the plant's growth is hindered. These could be undisciplined thoughts, negative emotions, bitter reactions that eat away our fruitfulness. It seems we always give the foxes some room in our house. Birds of the air was explained by the Lord to mean evil spirits. We open ourselves at times to give them a nest in which to work. Man always seems willing to provide a place for the birds of the air. The poignant cry of the Spirit of God comes through so clearly here. Jesus is saying, I want to give you my mind instead of yours, my heart instead of your stony heart, my nature in place of yours. I want to be able to rest my head, my spiritual mind, upon the shoulders of my body in the earth. I want a place where I may find rest, where my will shall be done in your earth, as it is done in my Father's heavenly realm. In the years that I have been seeking his rest, one thing I have known was necessary, and that was to put on the mind of Christ, and to cease from ordering my own life and doing my own ways. This required a constant awareness and a pulling in of the reins of my own will. Until I came to the place where I felt secure and could find rest only when I knew I was doing the Father's will and not my own. It has not been easy, nor has it been a quick work, but it has been thorough, and the Spirit witnesses that I have come into his rest. I do not claim to be perfect, nor to always get it right, but I do know the rest that I walk in is new and real. I still go in and out somewhat, but my soul so delights in this place of his rest that I am pressing in to remain there always. Foretastes have been granted me from time to time, so that I might know when I am in that realm of rest and when I am not. About 3 years ago, returning from a ministry trip to the U.S., the Lord set before me our whole day. As we were driving along, he showed me that we were crossing the border into Canada, and showed me who we would go to see and how long we would be there, and just what we would do for the whole day. And in the midst of being so led, the Spirit reminded me of the covenant he had made with me so many years ago, that he would bring me into his rest. It was as if he were saying, "This day is this word fulfilled in your ears." The security of knowing that we were doing exactly what the Lord wanted all that day gave us such an unspeakable joy that I cannot even express it. Isaiah 58:13-14 says it well for me. It says that if we call his Sabbath rest a delight, honoring him by not doing our own ways, or finding our own pleasure, or speaking our own words, then we shall delight in the Lord and ride upon the high places, or the realm of spirit. I was so thrilled with Jesus over this whole thing that for several weeks I could hardly sleep at night. My body was tired, but my spirit was soaring, and I simply could not shut it down. I would just lie there for hours rejoicing in God my Savior. I knew that I had come into a new place in the Spirit. Since that time, I'm aware of walking in a quiet resting place with him, and he is teaching me how to guard that place so that no anxious care may enter in to disturb. And next we need to learn about the two fasts. Did you know that there are two fasts? The Lord opened up Isaiah chapter 58 to my spiritual understanding. For a period of a year, he impressed certain verses upon my heart until I got the message. I did not at first understand that it had anything to do with the Sabbath rest, but I found that this chapter gives explicit details about the nature of his rest that are not found anywhere else. I shall take the liberty of expressing some of this, if you don't mind, in my own words. I saw that there were two dispensations shown forth here in Isaiah chapter 58. One is called the fast of man, and the other the fast of the Lord. The fast of man portrays how things have been in the church age. The fast that the Lord has chosen shows what it would be like if his children walked in his spirit in the realm of his Sabbath rest. The fast of man depicts a people who take delight in approaching to God. They act like a nation, denomination, that had done righteousness, when in fact they have forsaken the true ways of God. They fast, make long prayers, bow down their heads, and cover themselves with sackcloth and ashes. And then they complain to the Lord, "Why have we fasted and you haven't seen us? Why, we have humbled ourselves and you haven't even noticed." The Lord's answer goes right to the heart of the matter. He says, "Lo, in the day of your fast you take pleasure. You're proud of doing this. Lo, for strife and contention ye fast, to smite with the fist of lawlessness. Ye shall not fast as you do today, to cause your voice to be heard on high. Just because you make an outward show of being humble, you expect me to bless you? Is it such a fast as this that I have chosen?" After this sound rebuke, the Lord tells them what his fast is like. "Is not this the fast that I must ever choose? To unbind the tight cords of lawlessness, to unloose the bands of the yoke, and to let the crushed go free, and that every yoke ye tear off." That's from verse 6 in Rotherham. "Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and hide not from your own flesh, from the things that are in you that need to be cleansed and brought to the cross." Now come the rewards for keeping the Lord's fast. Thy light, or understanding, shall break forth. Thine health shall spring forth, even as thy soul prospers. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. And that's not all. How do you like this? It is the answer to all our heartfelt longings. When you call, the Lord shall answer. When you cry unto him, he shall say, "Here I am." Have we not longed that he would answer our every cry? Again, our part is to cease from the ministry of condemnation, from the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, which is emptiness and death. The Spirit brought this verse before me for days. After showing us a right heart attitude, he exhorts us to draw out our soul to the hungry and afflicted, and this doesn't necessarily mean physical, can be hungry for the things of God. The reward for doing that is again light. Thy light shall rise in obscurity. From being a nobody, you'll be as one who is sought out. Thy darkness shall be as the noonday. Noonday is the highest point of light in the day, so that signifies that we shall know no darkness. Notice that when the Lord lists his blessings, he always considers his light to be the highest and greatest blessing he could bestow upon us. It's always first on the list. Have you ever noticed that? If we have spiritual understanding, we walk in the light as he is in the light, and there is no darkness in us at all. And darkness signifies ignorance, a lack of knowledge of the truth. All the spiritual blessings we have longed for are given to those who keep the Lord's Sabbath or fast. Have you dreamed of being led always by the Spirit? This, of course, is the earmark of the sons of God. He promises to such, "The Lord shall guide you continually, satisfy you in dry times, make fat thy bones with the anointing, make you like a watered garden and a spring of water. You shall be called a repairer of broken walls, a restorer of paths leading home." Don't you like that? That's from Rotherham, verse 12. The Lord is here making quite clear the distinction between the in-part realm and the fullness to be experienced in the kingdom age. In verse 13 and 14, he ties it in with his Sabbath rest and assures us that when we honor him by not doing our own ways, he will feed us with the inheritance of Jacob our father. Now what inheritance is that? It is the covenant our holy God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to bring us into his promised land, his rest, his seventh day. The place that Jesus went to seek out for us in his three-day journey. It is a realm of spirit where we come to abide with him, always doing those things that please him, and finding our delight in doing his ways. This covenant was not only given unto our fathers, but it is given to us in this day, unto each one who will give the Lord his whole heart. We need to understand the nature of his rest. I have, personally, no words to express the delight I have felt in experiencing the Lord's rest. So I am going to let the Holy Spirit tell you what I simply cannot. Simply put, Isaiah says, his rest shall be glorious. That's in chapter 11 and verse 10. I have found it so. He also says, the whole earth, our earth, is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Surely we shall sing for joy when we have found that rest for which the Lord went before us to seek out. Our 3 days' journey has culminated in our finding that rest that remaineth for the people of God. And when we have found it, we break forth into singing. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Isaiah 32:18 tells us. And the Lord of all the earth assures us that, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Isaiah 62:1. This is so beautiful. God assures us he will not rest or cease working upon his creation until his righteousness comes forth in them. And then in verse 7, he gives us permission to give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem, his people, a praise in the earth. Isn't that something? He's telling us we can hold him to his purposes. We cannot help but hear the cry of the Spirit in Stephen's sermon in Acts 7:48-50. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? The prophet continues in Isaiah 66:2. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He is saying clearly that the place of his rest is with one who is yielded to his word, and gives him the place that he desires to rule in his heart. Jeremiah 50, verses 4-6, tells of a time when Babylon and her idols are broken down. In those days, and in that time, the children of Israel shall come, going and weeping. They shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion, with their faces thitherward, saying, Come, and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant. My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. I am happy to report that this is the day and this is the time that Babylon is taken and her idols are being destroyed. God's people are seeking to find the rest of God, and they shall find it. For his rest is the place where his mind rules, and we love to have it so. He is truly bringing forth his willing people in the day of his power. Oh, I exhort you, my friends, to seek his rest with me, that we may abide there continually, and delight forever in his will and in his way. In prayer recently, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, This is the day of my rest. He continued speaking in separate thoughts about his day. Rest in me, my weary children. Run to me with all that distresses you, and leave every anxious care at my feet. Think no longer of what you shall say or how you shall answer your gainsayer, for I shall give you words when you trust not in your own. I like that. Know that all emotion has failed you, for it has been based on a false image of what you are before God. I do cleanse your emotions so that you do not put yourself down, but you put me up in your mind, and thus peace reigns within you. This is my time of restoration. Carry in your heart hope for even the difficult ones around you, for I am able to save to the uttermost. Do what thy hand findeth to do, and know that in my rest I do all things as one with thee, whether they be great or small. Enjoy my fellowship in all of thy labors, for I am truly with thee. Let the thoughts of my goodness and my love be ever before thee, that thy heart be always delighting in me. This is thy portion in my Sabbath day. Know of a truth that I delight in thee as you delight in me. Our joy in each other keeps you in my peace and rest. In this, my day, you shall always seek to build up and not to tear down, for it is the time of restoration, of building up foundations that have been broken down. Take not offense in the day of my rest, for my love is upon thee and proceedeth from thee. Who is there that can diminish thee? Lastly, keep thine heart in an attitude of prayer before me at all times, leaning upon me for strength to accomplish all that is set before thee. Let me be the center from which you move, and have your being all the day long, for this is my rest, my beloved, this is my rest. Walk ye in it, for the door has been opened unto those who would keep the fast of the Lord, and cease from their own ways. And in conclusion now I want to share a song that the Lord gave to Brother John Gibson from North Carolina. It may be sung to the tune of the Old Rugged Cross. In the mind of the Lord is a beautiful rest, a wondrous state of being for me. As I live unto him, I am losing my will, and I'm being what I was meant to be. Oh, I must live in this glorified realm, while in this earthly habitation I trod. I'll live and move and have my being in him, as I come to my remembrance in God. The Lord bless you.